goes high towards the play there. Walsh got there ahead of him though. Moncair plays it back in again. And no offside.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the Washbag Swindon Town FC podcast. I'm Ron Smith. Town are set to embark on the 2014-15 League One campaign against Scunthorpe next weekend. It's that time of year that we can all dream, imagine securing promotion with a last-minute bicycle kick, beating Liverpool in the FA Cup and a season undefeated as hosts. I did say dream. Of course, we overlook the possibility of relegation. That isn't a possibility for anyone at this time of year. Predictions are largely meaningless, so let's get the predictions of my guests then for this season preview podcast. First of all, Swindon Advertiser, you don't work there. Chief sports writer Sam Morshead.
Hello.
Hello, Sam. Flick Wiltshire Sport, are you sports editor? Is that your title?
Yeah, that is my official title.
Is it? Very good.
Yeah.
Andrew Steele Davis here also good on the morning. Podcast. And a man without a title, but you know, Ian
Watkins. Making up the numbers.
Well, I was going to say maths teacher.
Yeah, I'll do.
Maths teacher, Ian Watkins, welcome.
Good morning, Ron.
Good. Right, well, yesterday, Town beat to the Aston Villa under-7s 4-1 at the County Ground. Game that I didn't attend, but all my three guests did. So, over to you, really. Sam, do you want to start us off with your thoughts of the game?
I thought it was fairly entertaining. I thought going forward, particularly in midfield, they showed a lot of options, showed quite a lot of dynamism, a lot of energy, scored some cracking goals. Ben Gladwin's second and Lewis is first. And it was great for Andy Williams to get a goal. I think everyone was very pleased to see that. But then defensively, positionally, it looked a bit suspect. And that's what you get from A, people not really playing together at all. Jordan Turnbull not training at all with the defence. Rafa Branco is fairly inexperienced as a man to hold a back line together. And at times it looked like a zigzag more than a straight line when they were defending. And I think teams who have a bit more experience and in league context might exploit that a bit. So, yeah, I think it's the same what we've been talking about the whole way through pre-season. Midfield looks great. The strikers, they can score goals when they have enough chances at the moment. But defensively, it's still a little bit worrying.
Okay. Andrew, anything to add really in terms of the game? It's interesting to see Andy Williams get a goal finally as part of pre-season. I think that's his first, isn't it?
Yeah, the press had a chat with him after the Leeds game, and obviously he said he was frustrated with how things were going in front of goal. Obviously he's looked sharp in patches, but admittedly, and he admitted this himself, his movement in front of goal was lacking a little bit, whether that is down to obviously spending 8 months out on the sideline. So it's good to see him score a goal. It's really well taken as well. So hopefully that'll do his confidence a world of good. Cause it looks as if though him and Smith will be starting the season up front together. Obviously, it all depends on this striker if they manage to bring one in.
Yeah, we'll come on to the mystery man and potential signings later. But I mean, Ian, with the game, I mean, Gladwin got a brace. I wasn't there. Describe the goals. How it went on.
All the goals or just Gladwin's goal?
Start off with Gladwin.
Okay. Well, his first goal, it was a ball through to Smith, who one-on-one with the keeper sort of took it quite early. Keeper saved. Ball came back out to the edge of the area and Gladwin's come in and just smashed it as hard as he could and it's bouncing off the crossbar. So it looked quite nice. Second one, breaking from midfield, which he did several times. We've seen him do last season as well. He got his left foot about 20, 25 yards out and just stuck it in the bottom corner. So they were both nice finishes. Williams is... That seems to be the sort of goal that you'd expect Williams to score. Sort of a ball through, one-on-one with the keeper. He did take it quite nicely. And Thompson's was similar to Gladwin's in the sort of break from midfield, got to the edge of the area, stuck it in the corner. It was mildly fortunate that prior to that we had Wes sort of running out from goal and got there a microsecond before the Villa player and won the ball. There was quite a nasty collision that the Villa player was unhappy about. But I think, Andrew, you made the comment about the sweeper-keeper that he was trying to perfect, and he weren't there. But like I say, had he been a split second later, he would have cleaned out the Villa player. Mm-hmm. So, no, but like I say, all four goals were well taken and quite pleasant to watch.
Okay. I mean, it's a bit of a last-minute friendly, Andrew, in terms of how it was arranged. Perhaps, was it a game that sort of Town wanted to play a youthful side just to actually sign off pre-season with a victory? Or in terms of the game, did Town gain anything from it?
They definitely needed, obviously, last week. You know, my thoughts were they definitely needed a game on Saturday to round off, and I'd known they'd sort of been frustrated in attempts to get, you know, they were in talks with a host of clubs for that Saturday, and that they'd obviously fallen short. In terms of what they gained from this Aston Villa friendly, it was mostly kids, you know, albeit they had a couple of first teamers in there, and Matthew Loughton and Elliot Bennett, but, you know, it was another chance to get 90 minutes or, you know, some minutes under the players' belts. And I think, you know, as Sam said, midfield-wise and going forward, it's very encouraging, and it, you know, it'd be good to take that into next week. Obviously, defensively, there's still work to be done. I think it was a worthwhile exercise. You know, it was another chance then to work on their fitness and hopefully take some of the positives into next week.
I mean, do you think part of them were thinking that arrange a game for Saturday, with any luck, we'd have Brad Smith, AN other in, so we could get them a game with the team before we get to next Saturday? As it happened, as it turns out, that's not happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's always strange that there was such a break between the Leeds game, which was meant to be originally, or the Charlton game that never was, and the league, you know, starting, you know, a week's time. So yeah, they definitely had to have a game of sorts. You can't just sort of lounge around, because otherwise you might as well send them off to another training camp, go abroad or something. It was. Even now, some teams have a game this midweek, sort of preparing for the season going ahead. I mean, has there been any feedback, Sam, from Cooper in terms of the success of this pre-season? I mean, going back a year ago, it was at this time, of about a week to go, that McDonald left, or maybe sort of 2 weeks ago before the start of season. You know, this has been a pre-season that Cooper's been able to kind of control himself, obviously, with Lee Power about it. Any feedback in terms of how it's gone as a whole?
I think he's incredibly frustrated about the fact that he hasn't been able to get his signings in again. Like, it was the same as last year. And at the end of last season, he was telling us all we'd be quite nice if we didn't have to wait all the way until the second week of August to start bringing in, or the last week of July, or whatever it was, start bringing in the players that we actually want. And it's happened all over again, and you can sense his frustration and annoyance at that in an interview situation with him, because we're bringing it up every time about signings, because
it's what fans want to know. Exactly,
and he appreciates that that's the case, but he can't give any other answer, and that's frustrating him, which is frustrating us, which is frustrating the fans. And while in the middle of it they've still got a very talented group of players that are obviously capable of playing some decent football, we all know that that group alone isn't going to sustain any kind of playoff charge. It's just simply too threadbare. You don't go deep enough to be able to do it. So everyone is in the same boat in that sense. Like, we're all frustrated, but there seems to be no way to counter that frustration at the moment. I mean, he keeps saying, hopefully we'll sign three or four in one go. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think that they'll be drip-fed one at a time when they're going to be freed up by their clubs, for whatever reason. But until that point, I think everyone's just going to have to stick with it. That Cooper isn't exactly going out and saying, no, I tell you what, we're just going to make the fans wait that little bit longer.
Yeah.
He's not got some sort of sadist attitude to it. He wants to get them in. He wants them to be playing for Swindon Town, but they can't. So for whatever reason, they're not able to come in. When they can come in, then maybe we can look a little bit more optimistically about it. But at the moment, you've got to be realistic, and it's quite a thin group of talented players, and a thin group of talented players can only take you so far.
Okay. I mean, at the moment, it kind of seems that Town are partly relying upon loan players coming in as favours, through the contacts, trying to get players in. I mean, obviously, something that the FA have been consulting on is potentially a more sort of formal arrangement in terms of allowing a formal loan system, feeder clubs in a way between Premier League teams and lower league teams. I mean, to what extent, it seems to me at the moment that the clubs in the Premier League or Championship are reluctant to let players go because they don't know what's going to happen with some of their own players, and it's more pushing it towards the end of the transfer window in terms of formalising, you know, which players get loaned out. I mean, do you see, Andrew, if the system were to change, that, say, Town would be able to have a crop of players from team, whoever they are, Liverpool, Tottenham, whoever, Southampton, but at the start of the pre-season period, would it be beneficial at all?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, we touched on it already in terms of, with Swindon, you know, the defence yesterday. Obviously, it's no secret of the fact that Cooper wants to add two more defenders, if you sort of take Turnbull out of that, in terms of he played yesterday. So if there was a system in place where you could take a crop of players at the start of pre-season.
Yeah. But it's more about sort of guaranteeing that at an early possible stage, isn't it, really? Because then you can build your team.
Absolutely, and bed them in. Obviously, the problem we're going to have again, like last year, is that we're going to have these players come in and you know, it's start the season next week. But it's just, you know, as Sam said, it's just circumstances, isn't it? Obviously, with Jack Stevens at Southampton, you know, they've had a bit of a nightmare summer themselves. You know, obviously, defence...
Well, good in one sense, they've wiped out their debt.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've got a lot of money kicking about. But no, I think, you know, obviously, if a system were to come into place, that would guarantee a crop of players to go out on loan early on in the pre-season, of course it'd be beneficial. But at the moment, it's just, you know, we've got to live within our means and, you know, the sort of circumstances.
I mean, kind of speaking about living with our means, there's obviously some players who... Cooper's got no intention of them being in the team this season. We've got Darren Ward and Ryan Harley being two. Mr. Agombal potentially being another. But, I mean, that's quite a lot of money there. And if only we could... get them off the books, reuse that money. I mean, that, Ian, that would help the situation. Because at the moment, as I said, we're living with our means. You know, we clubs taking players on loan are expected to contribute to the wages.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I think there was obviously talk about Ward to Cheltenham, wasn't there? And then they've signed that player whose name's escaped me now. The one who's at Charlton and
Matt Taylor.
That's the one, Matt Taylor, thank you. Yeah, I mean, Harley, you would think, was on a fair old whack as well, and there was, he was seen at Exeter, wouldn't he, and they thought, oh, maybe he'd go back there, but I'm right in thinking they're under a transfer embargo, so I'd be surprised if they're still here come the end of the transfer window, because I thought if nobody's taken them on, we'll probably come to some sort of mutual agreement and see them off, but like you say, it'd be good to get it done sooner rather than later, so we've got that money to play with.
Well, I mean, well, maybe, I don't know about the books, and maybe that those figures that... Power's already sought to be the ones to get rid of, and that you didn't expect a budget for them this season. So they, even if taking them off the books might not get us extra money, I don't know.
I don't think you can really run a club like that. I don't think you can run a club on having a budget on just in case you do get rid of them. I think that would be a bit foolish.
Okay.
I don't think that any chairman would really do that. I'd hope that they would.
No, of course.
I mean, both of those players are available on freeze. I'm not looking for a fee for them. But it is the wages that other clubs would have to pay to take them on. And you're probably only looking at League One and League Two clubs that would be considering bringing them on in a playing capacity.
And there's not many clubs in the type of... When you've got a player at their age, they don't really want to move up to the North West or something. There's not many clubs in this area, this part of the world, who take them on at that level.
And a lot of them have done their business early as well, so that they're not going to then look... to pick up someone just because they become available. They will have sorted out exactly their plan of attack and wouldn't have considered going for these players because they wouldn't have thought them at the start of the summer that they would even be available. So I think that it looks like they're probably going to be still on the books for the season.
Well, I hope they can go out and join Supermarine or something. Get them off the books. Right, in terms of strength in the squad, we've had Josh Lellon join from Derby, the youngster there, the defender. I mean, Andrew, do you see that deal would end up in a season-long loan? Has he kind of shown enough that you've seen or that feedback you've had from Cooper and whether that initial month-long loan would be extended or is he just kind of basically, God, we've got to get someone in quick? So we've actually got a defender so we can play three at the back.
In my opinion, you know, people may disagree with me, but I think he's looked okay. I think he's been impressive in the games he played. The first game I saw him play was Bromley away. He played the full 90 minutes and he looks good on the ball. So the type of defender Town wants, comfortable playing out from the back. Yesterday he got forward well and there was a couple of times in the first half where he sprayed the ball about quite nicely and sort of was the instigator in some of the attacks. So I think obviously, you know, the understanding is that if he's done enough early on then his month deal will be extended a season long loan. I've seen no reason at the moment why they wouldn't extend it to the season because he's shown enough so far. Obviously, I think any decision will be made at the end of his loan, so he could go on and have three nightmare games and that'd be it. But you know, as things stand, I think in my eyes, he's done enough.
Okay, I mean the worry is that if Town wanting to Cooper wants to play three at the back, so we've got. I mean, how old's Lellon? 18?
19.
Well, less than 20. Stevens or Turnbull, kids.
Yeah.
Branco.
22-ish. But with half a season of football under the belt.
That's an interesting.
I think Jack Stevens showed last year that he's the leader that back three needs.
Yeah,
I mean he is very vocal for a guy of his age, and he definitely commanded that. I mean, the first game he had at Bristol City, he came in and was immediately barking orders at the rest of the guys in that back line. So I think that if he does end up, then that is the leader that that group needs. Because otherwise, Rafa he's obviously shown a lot of ability, and he's grown as a player remarkably in a short space of time since that debut against Plymouth, when everyone was wondering what exactly Swindon had signed. He showed against Bradford around Christmas time that he really can cut it in big, heavyweight games. But I don't think that he is the leader that they need. And Jack Stevens, out of all the options that they're going to have, is the leader if they can get him in. And I think that's probably the most crucial signing that Cooper and Power need to make in the rest of this transfer window, is getting Jack Stevens.
Yeah, I mean, Stevens was quality at the end of last season. And it's just a worry of what's going on at Southampton, that if we do get Stevens, it is going to be on the 31st of August. The deal's going to go through once that they've signed various sort of players. They're talking about sort of Ronald Villar from Villa potentially going to Southampton. But it's quite a lot resting on it, but we need that player in now, because there's not many options. But I mean, does that mean in pre-season, Yasuke seems played occasionally in as a sweeper?
So as is Nathan Thompson, and we've had Ben Gladwin at the back, which I don't think we'll be seeing again. Mm-hmm.
Pre-season's the right time to experiment and test players out. Is there a long-term strategy in putting a player like that at the back?
No, because you want Yasser in midfield. I mean, even yesterday he was still dropping back and sitting very deep, but you want his position to be in midfield. And you do worry at the moment. I mean, like you said, with Leland or Lellen or however you pronounce it, if he hadn't come in, we would be looking at having had Thompson or Kasim or Curtis da Costa at the back. I wouldn't feel comfortable going into the Scunthorpe game with that being the back three. Mm. I mean, even with the current back three, it's a bit iffy, but you feel we have at least got three centre-backs there.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper said after the game yesterday, in terms of the three at the back, I learned that we need to do some work on our shape of the back three, getting caught with the long ball over the top, and maybe take less risks when playing out from the back, because at times it's heart attack material. Something he said. I mean,
they won't change the way they play like that. I mean, Cooper quite rightly has stuck to an identity in letting the ball out from the back, and once or twice a half, everyone has this collective gasp when Wes tries to chip the ball over the striker from 6 yards right in the corner of his box or something like that. But that's part of what Swindon Town match day experience is. Now you're going to get a bit of a shock at times, but when it works, when they play 18 passes and it goes from back to front and it ends up with a goal scoring opportunity, then that's great football, and that's what you pay to watch. And if they aren't going to make mistakes, that's because they're not trying it. And if they don't try it, then we don't get to watch that kind of stuff. So he's got to persist with it. He says that he maybe wants to take less risks. Less risk probably means the really silly things, like Wes trying to chip a striker rather than just passing it. Because if he goes against that now, then he goes against everything he's said for the last 15 months or whatever it is, 14 months. So I don't think it'll change.
I mean, as far as Cooper and the strategy, it's all about the possession. Mm. You can't play as if you've got Alan Reeves or Joe Eifert at the back and they're just going to, at that opportunity, just clear the ball up there. 50-50 chance and it goes forced the opposition. So, Cooper said in terms of how they play, we try to get the ball and play and dominate the football. I mean, you can't do that unless it starts from the back and you've got as you pointed out, Andrew, in terms of the range of lonely central defenders coming in, that they can... They're comfortable on the ball. They can control it. They can pass. The issue, and you touched on it earlier, Andrew, is about the lack of the left back at the moment. And what's the chap he's called again? Brad Smith from Liverpool. Are all the hopes of securing someone in that position resting upon him? Or do you get a sense that there's someone else out there? Or who can fill in the meantime? We've had Nathan Byrne or... was it Matty Jones, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, sort of fill in there.
I certainly think the club are hopeful of getting Brad Smith in, and it seems that people I've talked to in Liverpool are pretty confident that deal's going to go through. I have to admit, when he was left out of the Liverpool's tour to America, I expected him to sign on at the Canterground within those next few days. That hasn't happened. So not sure why that deal's still to be done, but I'm pretty confident that the club are confident of getting him. So whether they've got I'd imagine all clubs will have a backup plan in place, because they do. I'd be quite worried if sort of clubs go in and put all their eggs in one basket.
Left backs.
probably
need him. Yeah, but in terms of, I don't know a lot about him. What's his experience? He's been out on loan to any other teams previously?
Not that I'm aware of.
No,
I think he came on against Chelsea around about Christmas. Is that right? But so no, not a lot.
Okay. Yes, Sam.
No, I don't think there is. But that doesn't necessarily mean much, does it? Stevens didn't have anything last year. It gives him a clean slate to prove himself if he does get here. It's a bit bewildering why he isn't here already.
Well, Liverpool aren't short left backs, are they? They've got.
It's not going to be down to Liverpool in this situation, is it?
No.
I mean, it's going to be down to something else. And what that something else is the bit of the mystery.
That's paying the wages. that kind of boils down to, Powers made quite a lot after the court case about season ticket sales and money, and obviously there's been a few new sponsors coming in, and we've got a sponsor for the front of the shirt, the back of the shirt, the away shirt, and home shirt. Now we all see
and the shorts,
and the shorts,
yeah,
and the pants, socks. It's quite good. Seems to be stepping up a bit. But is there something more sort of? Is that the real reason that there's a bit? Well, there's obviously less cash going around, and
we don't know the real reason for certain why the signings aren't coming in at the moment. It could be any number of things. So. I guess let's just hope they come through next week before the start of the season, then we can stop speculating as to why it is and just watch the football.
If clubs are touched on early, if clubs don't have that sort of settled team, it's kind of pre-season is a bit of a kind of a very loose exercise in terms of squad building. You know, fitness is important, but in terms of the overall squad building, then you're kind of half expecting the side not to kind of really kind of perform well until sort of end of September. Kind of click, but it all depends on when you get the players in, if they're in such crucial positions. But perhaps everyone's in the same boat, really. You know, being in a fortunate position to have the full squad in place now. But it didn't really hurt De Canio. We still won the league in that year, but after sort of tinkering about quite a bit. This unnamed striker, then, Sam, from the Premier League, how many goals is he going to score?
This unnamed striker,
who is he?
I don't know. Okay. It's not Adam Campbell.
Who's Adam Campbell?
It was a Newcastle striker name still floating around about 3 weeks after it first came out. It's not him. As much as some people representing him might have wanted people to believe. He went out with Newcastle to New Zealand. Yeah, it's not him, but we don't know, actually. We're not doing our jobs well enough. Sorry.
That's okay.
I was given a name.
Both of you on.
I was given a name like way back in May time, but I believe that has now changed. I could be completely wrong, but I've had no luck.
Who's this name then? Come on.
I can't say because obviously I'm not 100% sure, but I understand the name. The name I was given, they've, due to one reason or the other, they may have had to go switch onto another target, but I believe it will. This striker will be from a Premiership club. Who that is, I do not know.
Okay, well, in terms of our own strike partnership here, and we've got Michael Smith and Andy Williams this week. Was it Coop who said that they would be able to batter down League One defences? Was that a quote? I think I saw that somewhere.
No, that was Michael Smith.
So he said that they were going to batter down League One defences. But he didn't say score goals. Importantly, as part of that. So lots of fouls being conceded by the strikers. Our hopes rest upon them.
I think they're the key players because, as we've already said, the midfield's looking good. I mean, the defence, who knows what's going to happen, but that's been the concern in some of the games pre-season is scoring the goals. And Smith's done all right in pre-season. And actually, let's be honest, he did all right last season as well to come in halfway through and get, 8 goals. Williams has the capability of doing it. He showed yesterday he stuck it away nicely. We don't know who this mystery striker is, so it is going to be very, very important that they I think we need to see Williams getting off the mark in the league quite quickly to give him some confidence. Mm. I think, yes, they would have helped, but if we can get to next Saturday and he sticks one in...
Mm. So, have you taken the penalties?
Oh, it'd be Smith, wouldn't it? But I think even if he... Because he missed one pre-season and still took it as the second one in the same game. Yeah. So it seems to be he's the go-to man.
But if we're going to sign a mystery striker, whichever striker it is, what sort of role do you foresee that they need to fulfil? Is it like someone like a Ranger last year?
I would assume so, but who knows? And it might be that we have a person in that we've got in lined up to come in. And if that falls through, we've got a second one. It might be there, different player. No idea, let's be honest.
But going back to what we were saying earlier about the potential for our loan players to come in later after other clubs have sorted out their business, does letting Story go quite early in the loan window doesn't make sense until we bought in players to play, to fill up the squad?
I think people make quite a lot about the fact that Miles has gone to Portsmouth. I think that it's a good move for everyone. Mm. And I think he's shown in glimpses.
Purely about the sort of timing, in terms of we haven't got the other sort of...
Well, if they were going to offload him and they knew that he was going to go out for a season somewhere, then all the clubs are going to want to get their signings done early. So he's going to have to go.
In the same way as we
it's
want
the same Swindon want to get them. Everyone else wants it in early. So the fact that Miles went to Portsmouth is good for most people, I think. I mean, obviously there are fans who would rather see him stay, but I think George Barker has had a good pre-season. I think he's starting to show that he can offer something. I think Connor Walden has had a good pre-season and he's definitely got something there. We can't pin all the hopes on an unnamed mystery striker who might arrive from a Premier League club on the 31st of August at 11:59 PM or whatever it is. And Michael Smith and Andy Williams get far too much stick, in my opinion. Michael Smith scored 20 goals between his spells at Wimbledon and Town last season. He has scored an average of one every 2.3 games for Town last season. That's pretty good coming in halfway through a season. Andy Williams, before he was absolutely battered by Di Canio, showed glimpses of being a really top quality League One striker. He did it for Yeovil. He scored 25 goals in the season for them. He's good at getting behind defences. He is a confidence player. And it seems like Smith's a confidence player as well. But there are sections of support who don't want to give him the chance. And when you don't give a confidence player the chance, then they're slowly going to deteriorate. And at this rate, if we don't give these two players a chance, then we're going to be the architects of our own downfall, because we don't have another striker, really, who's got proper experience in the Football League to come in and fill the gap. Because you can't ask George Barker and Connor Walton to do it, because they need half a season playing regularly to get that kind of experience that Andy and Mike have. So what do? You have to back them. You have to give them the chance in the first 12, 15 games of the season to prove that they can be a good partnership. And hopefully the fans do that.
Okay. Well, all about sort of players proving themselves. I mean, the role of the youth team players this season. Will Randall's been a real brush of fresh air in the games that I've seen pre-season. And Lee Marshall as well, to some extent. We've talked about Matty Jones and Curtis Da Costa featured just then. Had quite a crunchy tackle, I understand. I mean, Ian, what you know of those players? I mean, one we were watching the Supermarine and the Leeds games. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Randall featured well. I mean, because we're shorter players, do you see that they're going to feature a lot more this season and be instrumental.
I think
anywhere?
If you talk about Randall, I mean, I seem to recall last year he was sort of classed as a striker. He now seems to have dropped back a bit into midfield as an attacking midfielder. I mean, you look at the moment that you would say he's got five players in front of him for those three midfield slots. I'd say there's nothing to stop him. He'll make the bench, and it'd be nice to see him get a go, because he certainly has something about him. I think I saw yesterday was quite a few, he didn't play a lot yesterday, but he came on and was out-muscled by some of Villa's youngsters, and you just think he's not the smallest player, but he hasn't got a lot of, doesn't seem to have that much strength and might get a bit bullied in League One. But like you said, real breath of fresh air, and you certainly feel that players like him, possibly Marshall, Da Costa, will get some football this year. And it would be nice to get a few more of the youngsters coming through and making their mark. Obviously, we've had the Thompsons do it. It would be nice to have a few more in there as well. Okay. And that seems to be the way that Power and Cooper want to go, is to get more of the youth players in. And obviously with the Milk Cup trophy win this year, again, there seems to be players lower down that in a few years' time might make an impact as well.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, it's time to move on to our rather pointless predictions for this season, really. It's Town's 63rd season in the third tier of the Football League. So this is our level, apparently. Mm-hmm. Had the bit of a poll on the website this week. In terms of what league position will Swindon Town finish this year, the most popular choice, only marginally, was 10th, followed by 14th, and then some people going for 6th. I mean, Andrew, you're going to be sort of putting together your sort of pre-season preview package now. What have you already kind of put your neck on the line in terms of a league placing for Town?
Yeah, I think, and I've done this obviously with the fact in mind that if we get the four players in by sort of end of the transfer window, I've gone for 8th, or I'm going to go for 8th when it all comes out next week.
Okay.
I think that'll be around about where they'll finish. Obviously, you know, in my opinion, League One's a lot weaker this year compared to last year. You know, obviously the likes of Bristol City and Sheffield United.
I think it's going to be more equal this year.
I completely disagree with you, Andrew. I think it's a lot
so
stronger.
It's going to be so much harder because a lot more teams are a bit more.
I thought last week was the weakest. Last year was the weakest League One for a long time. I think that this year there are at least half a dozen teams who have big budgets at the top of the division who have recruited really heavily. You've got existing teams like Preston that have been doing what they've been doing for years and years. There's always a surprise package, which you don't know what it's going to be pre-season. Even a team like Orient, who last year were the surprise package, now aren't the surprise package, and they've recruited pretty well in the summer. Scunthorpe have invested loads of money after coming up. Chesterfield have got a really good setup after coming up. Bristol City have got the strongest squad in the division. Sheffield United finally should be able to push on. I think there are 8 teams that straight away stand out at the top of that division. I think it's the strongest League One since Southampton, Leeds, Norwich, that era, those two seasons. And I would be surprised if Town made the top half, and that's including getting their 3 or 4 new players. That's not to say they're going to get anywhere near relegation. I don't think they'll struggle with relegation, but I would be surprised if they got near the top half.
Okay, so you're sort of going for 12th,
13th. I'm going, when it comes out, the Abbas prediction thing, it'll be 14th, is my guess this year.
14th, and then how many points then behind 6th place, Sam?
You're going to be that specific?
Well, no, because you know, if the league is quite sort of strong as a whole, that's quite an important sort of barometer. Are we talking Town are going to be 10 points off, 20 points off?
Well, to say that you generally survive on around 50 and to get into the playoffs is usually on an average year about 75, and 14th usually would be about 62. So there you go.
It's good maths.
Right, fantastic for you. Right.
I went on I voted yesterday. I went for 16th. I think if we were able to if we get the players in, we keep strongest team available all time, we perhaps do top half. But you worry injuries, suspensions, Asia Cup. We're going to lose players, and that will have an impact. So I've gone for 16th, and let's say 15 points behind the playoffs, 10 above relegation zone. Is that accurate enough for you?
It's quite good, actually.
Yeah,
that's quite good. In terms of the league being quite sort of strong at the top, I mean, on the poll, Sheffield United were the clear favourites with about 25% of the vote to get promoted, followed by Bristol City and Peterborough. Leighton Orient also a big sort of fancy for promotion. Bizarrely, Swindon are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Is that on a Swindon Town related website?
I've been accused of other things. Any team there, sort of, Sam, that doesn't kind of feature that you think might sort of sneak up there? I mean, one of mine is MK Dons, I think, potentially could.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
There's all sorts of teams in this division that you could think, because I think Scunthorpe will be high. I mean, you've got very few votes for them there to be anywhere near it. Fleetwood invested a significant amount of money. Coventry are a big club. If they can sort out going home, then maybe they'll be able to generate the momentum they need. Doncaster, if they can sort out whether or not they're going to be run by a boy band, then they might be able to to do something. Barnsley have recruited well. Danny Wilson knows the division. There's so many teams there that will be close. I think Bristol City will win the division. I hate having to say that, but I think they've got a really strong squad, and the way that they finished last season as well, that's like Orient the season before. If you remember, they finished with a remarkable run of victories or points from their last 12 games the previous season, and obviously started the new season on fire. Chesterfield again. There's so many teams that have recruited well, have got strength in depth, which is so important to cover for injuries and suspension. And unfortunately, at the moment, Town, as talented as they are with their 16 or so players, don't have that depth to compete with that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, sort of looking at some of the comments on Twitter that I had from Neil Evans said, I see a poor season for Town, 12th to 15th, sort of going along with what you were saying, Sam, and he hope he's wrong, but Bristol City to go up. And he says Chesterfield are the dark horse. Steve Bex says 15th place for Town. STFC, difficult one name, Q, there we go. I'll be optimistic and go for 4th, where you very much are there. That's quite good. Matty Edwards says current squad, he thinks 12th, but if we sign our targets, we'd be a serious contender for the playoff spot. Cliff Ponting says Sheffield United, Orient and Barnsley for promotion. For relegation, Rochdale, Port Vale, Colchester relegated, and maybe another, but he doesn't say. In terms of the relegated sort of teams, Andrew, any guesses there? The favourites on the poll were Rochdale, Crewe, Fleetwood and Colchester. I potentially agree with Colchester and Crewe and Rochdale.
I can't believe Fleetwood are in there.
Yeah. I think that's more potentially because they're an unknown. No. But they've obviously got their 6 promotions in a few years.
You say 5 years there. I guess that's impressive.
That would be quite good. Well, they maybe got one bumped up in the league. I think they're stay up this division. Andrew?
Yeah, I can't see Fleetwood being down there. But, you know, they've got a lot of money, haven't they? Crewe, Colchester. I could potentially maybe see Yeovil dragged in, whether people agree with that or not at one point.
It would be quite interesting to go down from Championship League 2.
I could see them being around and about those places at one point during the season. Notts County, I know they've brought in a couple of good players, but they could be around those places, I think. I think obviously Crewe, Colchester, the usual suspects, really.
I think Crewe must be odds on favourite to go down with what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. Over the summer, they've had all sorts of issues with personal relationships with players and the amount of money they've been able to spend, which is never anything, and then losing some of their top players, as they always do. Mm-hmm. I think that they must be favourites to go down. Rochdale, I imagine, are up there because they have hardly ever been in this division. They've been in this 2 seasons in the last 50 years.
So. Yeah.
Colchester had quite a good pre-season, so I don't know whether they will be down there. I think, well, you look at it and you think, well, actually,
we could get.
Anyone can get sucked into it. Yeah. Well, just a bad start. Oldham have had a few issues, and I'm not too convinced about their squad. I think they'll probably struggle down there. Gillingham too. Yeah. Maybe Crewe, Rochdale, Gillingham and Oldham for me, simply so I don't have to say Town getting anywhere near.
Again, I voted yesterday and I went for the same as Sam, apart from not Rochdale, because I think Keith Hill there again?
Yep.
I think he'll do enough to keep him up, but I went for Colchester in there as well. So Crewe, Colchester, Gillingham, Oldham.
Okay. I mean, it's going to be important for Town and any teams, you say, but, you know, if it's going to be quite close at the top between the top 10, then it's going to be quite close then from 12 down to the bottom. It's all about actually getting the momentum at the right time, because as we know with Cooper's not a unanimous favourite with large sections of supporters, which is honest, and that's what we read and what we hear. Town don't need to be floating around the sort of 18th,
no.
20th place.
No.
Because then you kind of look back to kind of like the Malpass, you know. But that starts the season. Town weren't any danger of relegation, but it was just so, and people weren't behind him, and then that just kind of perpetuated. I don't think Power's going to make a rash decision on it. But it's going to be a tricky league this year.
I think there'll be a chasm between the top and the bottom half as well. I think you'll see a large group detached from the bottom group, and it'll be almost like two leads. I hope I'm wrong, because it's always a lot more exciting if it's closer, but looking at it, it feels like there's going to be a 10 and a 10, and there's going to be a little bit in the middle, and that's...
Well, it depends what group you're in the end, isn't it? I mean, is it going to be... I mean, we're already seeing that in the Championship, a lot of the Premier League money is filtering down, like Fulham paying £12 million for Ross McCormack, and other players getting bought for silly money there. Are we starting to see, like, even like the League One, that there's going to be, as you say, such a divide between...
Well, two have an owner like Steve Lansdowne who's willing to continue funding a deficit of significant proportion, like you have at Bristol City, or you have a huge fan base the size of Sheffield United, and money there for teams like Preston, then there's always going to be quite a lot of money at the top, and unless you have a rich investor, a really rich investor, an Andrew Black rich investor, then you're not going to be able to compete on a budgetary side. You can still compete on a footballing side, but it takes a hell of a lot of work and patience from all aspects of a football club. I don't think we in Swindon have that patience.
No, we don't.
I think we've proved that.
Yeah. Which is weird, seeing Brentford spend millions on players as well. And it's
well, that's Matthew Benham, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's, again, it's having a sugar daddy.
Yeah, exactly. But a supporter. Sugar daddy, of course, which makes a difference.
Makes a huge difference.
Okay. Right, well, I think that's all that we've got time for this week on the podcast. Unfortunately, I can't make the Scunthorpe game because my brother's arranged his housewarming party the week before this fixture list came out. goodness knows why, so I can't miss that game. So I can't go to one until the Crewe game on the 23rd. So thanks to Sam, Andrew and Ian for joining me, and I'll speak to you later in August then. Thanks for listening.